Well, Robert Reichs was born in Gloucester in 1736. He became a Christian at a young age, and at the age of 21, he inherited his father's successful publishing business and became quite wealthy as a young man. Now, many boys in the UK at that time were very poor and were forced to work in the coal mines or in the factories for very long hours from the age of 4. They would work 16-hour days, 6 days a week in the factories and coal mines. And this was, if they were too scared or too weak or too sickly to do that, then they ended up in poor houses, which were really like jails. And many of them would escape from there and turn to a life of crime, which was popularized in the book Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens. That concept was exposed in there. Well, Robert Reichs lived during this time, and he felt privileged to have escaped that childhood, having grown up in a wealthier home and being introduced to the Lord from a young age, and he wanted to do the same for others. He was challenged by verses like Matthew 10:42 that says, "Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he's a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Now, Reichs decided that education was the silver bullet. Education is what would keep these children out of a life of crime and be trapped in a life of poverty. The problem was that none of them could go to school because they worked these long hours, these 16-hour days, and the only day that they had off was when the mines or the factories were closed on a Sunday. And so he came up with this concept that he called Sunday school. And he would teach basic mathematics and literacy, how to read and write. And guess what he used as a textbook? He used the Bible. Yeah. So he would teach them to read and write passages out of Scripture, to memorize Scripture, to help their memories. And he would use the Bible through all of this. And he would introduce them to the gospel. Well, it became a very, very successful program, and it caught on and spread through the UK. Eventually, there were dozens popping up around various areas around him, and went into London and all over the UK. And whenever that happened, he would come and give them the curriculum that he had worked out. And here's one of the stipulations of the original schedule that he assigned. The children are to come after 10 in the morning and stay till 12. And then they're to go home and return at 1. After reading a lesson, they are to be conducted to church. After church, they were to be employed in repeating the catechism until after 5. And then dismissed with an injunction to go home without making a noise. Apparently in the olden days, children made noise. Imagine that. Well, Reichs would keep this free by enlisting Sunday school teachers from the church. So volunteers, Christians from the church, would volunteer their time on Sundays between services and would for free teach literacy and numeracy in the Bible and the gospel to children. And they would often do this on a rotational basis so that they didn't get burned out. Now, as is common in church life, there was opposition to this movement. And there were some objections that came from among Christians about Sunday school. They were against Sunday school. And one of the objections was that it would make parents lazy to know that their kids were being taught the gospel and the Bible by other people on a Sunday. And that's still a concern of ours. But another objection was that the schools were proving to be so good at teaching Christian values and the knowledge of the Bible that people feared that would, if the Sunday school system in the UK fell into the wrong hands, the children could be brainwashed into a political viewpoint. So if somebody took it away from being teaching them about Jesus and taught them about a certain political ideology, then you would have an entire nation growing up believing that, and people were kind of worried about that. Thankfully, from history, we know that hasn't happened. Sunday school is still a church-related thing. Eventually, Adam Smith offered his commendation, quote, "No plan has promised to effect a change of manners with equal ease and simplicity since the days of the apostles." He was basically saying that the best way to teach people about Jesus is Sunday school, since what the apostles were doing. They had miracles. In 1831, Sunday schools were reaching a quarter of the children in the UK. It's 1.25 million children were in Sunday school. The movement spilled over to the United States, where the Sunday school system soon became a universal aspect of childhood for nearly all children, rich or poor, in all 50 states. To this day, Sunday school is still considered one of the best ways to ground children in the truth of Scripture, expose them to the gospel, and to teach themselves how to teach them how to conduct themselves in family, society, and church. As you can hear, there's no Sunday school today, so that's what happens. Recently, however, there has been this movement to integrate the family entirely into the church. You know, the family integrated movement's become popular over the last few years, and the philosophy there is that children should be in church with their parents for every aspect of the service, and there's nothing wrong with that that movement, and I'm not against that movement, but they would say, you know, you shouldn't have a youth group on Friday nights because the youth should just meet with the rest of the church. You shouldn't have a cornerstone group, our young adults group, young marrieds group, because they should be meeting with older and young people too. And there's a lot to be said for that, and we are working on how to keep that integration going in our church. But at the same time, there's a huge benefit to have children learning truths of the gospel at an age-appropriate level, so that they are understanding the same things you are understanding because it's being presented to them in the way that they learn best. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Rather than a sermon from Colossians, this really is a discussion of Sunday school and how it fits into our church life, so that if you're a parent, you know your responsibility. If you're a teacher, you know your responsibility. And even if you're just a member of the church in this community, that you know what it is we believe and how you can support the parents and teachers in doing that. So we had a Sunday school workshop recently, where the teachers and the elder in charge of Sunday school, Mark Williamson, and myself, we got together and we did a strength, weakness, opportunity, threat analysis, the SWOT analysis, and we kind of went through what we believe about Sunday school and how we can improve it. And this message is coming out of that as sort of a presentation to you. So that's what we're doing here. Let me read for you Colossians 1:27. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And in this passage, especially in verse 28, we see three aspects of our Sunday school ministry, so that you'll understand this and hopefully become part of our view of this. And the first one is the motive. We'll also look at the material and the means. So the motive is maturity in Christ. The material is the gospel and the whole counsel of God. And the means, we'll look at the role of the teachers and the parents. So let's look at the motive here. Why is it that we have Sunday school? Verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Now, the all wisdom part here refers to that there are different ways of presenting truth to different people. You need wisdom. There isn't just a one-size-fits-all gospel presentation that every Bible in the world comes with, perforated at the back, you tear it out, you read these verses, and a person gets saved. That's just not how it works. Certain people know certain truths already. If you grew up in a particular home, you might already understand sin, but you don't understand forgiveness. Or you may understand salvation, but you don't know that it comes by grace alone. Or you may come from a background that thinks that there's many different gods, like Hinduism, for example, and you need to be taught that there's only one God. So whatever your background is, the gospel as it comes to you needs to be explained to you in a way that's applicable to your situation. Now, that's what it means to proclaim him to everyone in all wisdom. And so we apply this to Sunday school too. Now, who, according to this verse, is the target audience? You know, in marketing school, they teach you when you market your product to a particular target audience. You know, you don't have medication for colon health and bowel support featuring little kids, right? You generally have, you know, the people who are taller than kids and maybe grayer, and there's nothing wrong with that. But this verse is also has a target audience. Who is it? What does it say in the verse? You're right, but use the language in the verse. Everyone. Yeah, everyone. Everyone. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. You know, that this is a verse that isn't limited to a particular group of people. This is a verse that includes everyone. You go to the video store and you get age-restricted movies, right? This is for people over 16, which usually means nobody should be watching it. This is one for PG-13, you know, parental guidance for 13-year-old and upward if your parents are in the room because it's kind of scary, like the news. And then you get all ages, right? They used to make movies for all ages. Nowadays, there's swear words in cartoons even, right? But there's, it used to be all ages meant that anyone can watch this. You don't need supervision. You can just be there. You can watch an all ages movie. This is what this verse is. It's an all ages instruction. Everybody fits into this category. Everyone needs to be warned. Everyone needs to be introduced to Christ. Everyone needs this taught to them with all wisdom. And it doesn't matter that they're short. They still fit in there. There's nothing about your child that disqualifies them from this target audience. They're not too young. It's not because they're illiterate. It's not because they can't tie their shoelaces. They belong to this group called everyone. Because everybody is a sinner. They inherited it from their parents, who inherited it from their grandparents all the way up to Adam. Everyone needs a savior. Everyone needs forgiveness. Everyone needs Christ. Your children will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every child will have to give an account of his or her life. Your children are eligible for eternal rewards. Your children will spend eternity in one of two places. Your child's soul will spend an eternity in heaven or in hell. Sunday school is serious business. Saved people need to be serving. Saved people need to be worshiping. Saved people need to be learning and growing and maturing in Christ, even if they can't yet tie their shoelaces. Saved people need to be worshiping. Unsaved people need to be evangelized. They need to be taught the gospel, irrespective of whether they can spell or not, or they write their B's and D's the wrong way around. So what I'm saying is everyone needs this, irrespective of their age, and that's where Sunday school comes in. Sunday school is not babysitting. Creche is babysitting. Creche is what we call the service, what's happening today, for example. There's no Sunday school today because we wanted the Sunday school teachers in this service. So we had volunteers go and mind the children outside so that they're not playing in traffic. Or at least that someone stops the cars if they are. We need adult supervision there. That's child minding. That's babysitting. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love babysitters, by the way. Love them. Can't get enough of them. Hint, hint. But babysitting's not wrong, but it's not Sunday school. When we do Sunday school, don't think this is the church's way of keeping the children out of sight, out of mind, for the 45 minutes so that we can hear the Word of God. You know, this is the way of keeping the kids out so that we can mature in Christ and that we can worship. No, this is the church's way of helping them to mature in Christ and them to grow while we're maturing in Christ and we're growing and we're worshiping as well. Sunday school's goal is not childcare, it's maturity. Did you see that there? That we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's why we do this. That's why we do church, by the way. That's why you come here. We're trying to mature you. Remember, we got that picture of the dartboard that we usually use. Christ is the goal. He's the bullseye. We're all trying to head there. Unbelievers are off the board. We got to get them evangelized. We've got to get them on the board. We've got to get them in the church. But then there's people on the fringes. Yes, you. And then there's people who are slightly more mature and more mature, and we're all heading towards Christ. Nobody actually hits the bullseye until glory, but we're all heading towards there. The children are part of that. We're all maturing in Christ. That's the purpose of church. That's the purpose of life on earth. That's why the Holy Spirit is in us working to make us more like Christ. And that's what we're doing in our Sunday school. So how do we do this? How do we mature these little children in Christ the same way we're maturing their parents in Christ? Well, that brings us to the second point, the material. So we've got the motive, maturity in Christ, the material. Well, look in the verse. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. You might miss the material there because it's put in a strange position in the English. Him we proclaim. you know, usually you would say subject, verb, object. We proclaim him. But here it's object, subject, verb. Him we proclaim. That's done like that on purpose in the Greek to draw attention to the subject matter, the material. What is it? Him. And who's him? Jesus, yeah. Jesus is the one that we proclaim. So he is the material, as it were. The substance of what we teach children in Sunday school is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he lived a perfect life that our children cannot live, because their parents cannot live it. Nobody can live a perfect life, but Jesus did. He never disobeyed God even once. He lived this perfect life, and then, as a substitute for our sin, he died on the cross and took the wrath of the Father on himself, so that we sinners and our sinful offspring don't have to bear that wrath. And we put our faith in him and what he did on the cross to save us from that. And then he rose from the dead to seal that and to clinch that victory over death. And we teach our children that every single week in Sunday school. That is the material. That is the substance. The gospel. Romans 10 verse 11 says, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." So who's the target audience there again? Everyone. "For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek," and you might even say here, the teens and the toddlers, the pensioners and the peewees. "For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" This is a fundamental concept for us to grasp. This is the same reason we sent missionaries to the tribesmen in the Amazon. Because Paul says that if that person calls on Jesus, he will be saved. But how is he going to believe in Jesus? How is he going to call on him if he doesn't believe in him? Trust in him for salvation. And how is he going to believe in him if he's never even heard of him? And how's he going to hear of Jesus unless someone preaches? So that's why, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. That's why we send missionaries. So that those people will hear. Because if they don't hear, they can't be saved. It's the same with our children. Same with our children. Our children can be saved by calling on the name of the Lord. There's no age restriction. That's an all ages verse. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. But how are these little ones to hear, to call on him if they don't believe in Jesus? And how are they to believe in Jesus if they don't even know who Jesus is, because they never heard of him explained in his entirety in scripture? And how are they to have that unless we have someone preaching at them? So our Sunday school teachers are our missionaries that we send into the very dangerous environment, those little ones, those little energy suckers. And we send our missionaries in there to teach them so that they will hear of Jesus, that they will believe in Jesus, that they will call on Jesus and be saved. To him we proclaim. Now, they're preachers. They don't have a pulpit. They may use flannel boards or glue and glitter or whiteboards and non-toxic waxy crayons. Whatever they use, their purpose is to proclaim the truth of Jesus to these little ones. And the term here, warning, because he says warning everyone and teaching everyone, the warning implies that there's bad news, right? You don't warn people of good news. You warn them of bad news. And that needs to be learned too. We don't edit out the bad parts. And this is controversial. Some churches do that. My wife has been in an environment where there's other Christian parents or professing Christian parents of kids in a Christian school environment, where a teacher was teaching the gospel to their children, which is allowed in a Christian school environment, and the mom was complaining to my wife that she mentioned hell to this preschooler and how she was thinking of complaining about this. And my wife was like, "Well, how can you have a child get saved if they don't understand what they're being saved from?" And then the lady knew that she had to go talk to someone else about this. which is, by the way, one of the reasons that we're so privileged to have, as part of our outreach into the community from our church, the preschool, Simon Peter Preschool. I know you know it, where it is, because that's how people give directions to our church. Just go to Simon Peter, and there's a church there too. But Simon Peter and the church, we're linked. That's our outreach to the community, because we believe so heavily that you can reach children from a very, very young age. And so, at Simon Peter, they hear the full truth too. And there's a reason. Acts chapter 20, verse 26, Paul said to the Ephesian elders as he was about to leave them, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of you all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." He says, there may be some of you going to hell, but it's not on my conscience, because I told you the good news and the bad news. I told you the whole counsel of God. And we don't want children one day to grow up and be 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 25-year-olds, walk away from the Lord because they don't know what that entails. They think they're picking different lifestyles. They may think that they're picking sets of morals. Well, you know, my vegetarian friends who love the earth, they're just as moral as we are, so I'm going to become a vegan tree hugger or whatever, which is fine, we need those. But that's not what you're doing. You're choosing heaven and hell. How are you going to know that if someone doesn't tell you? So we don't shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God to our children. We don't just teach the feel-good stories and the lost sheep who comes back, man, you know, and the prodigal son and all that. We teach all of the Bible. Israel disobeyed God and people died. And our 4-year-old knows that because he learned it at Sunday school. The flood didn't happen to clean the earth. The flood happened to kill the wicked people. Noah wasn't chosen because he was good with animals. He found favor with God. But we do this in an age-appropriate way. None of my children have ever had nightmares after Sunday school. It's done in an age-appropriate way, and that's why we do Sunday school, because if we just have them in here for me to preach the way I preach, there would be nightmares. There's adults that have had nightmares, right? So that's why Sunday school is important. That's why there's that separation. It's not a biblical mandate. We just feel that it's part of wisdom, teaching them and warning them with all wisdom. So we have these three overarching themes in the material that we teach. One is the gospel, as I've mentioned. Every single week, they hear the gospel. We pray for their salvation as Sunday school teachers. They are regularly confronted with their own sinfulness and their need for a savior. And they're regularly reintroduced to the concept of God and his grace and his mercy and his love and how he wants to cover all of that and how he's made a plan for you. Every week. The second overarching theme is God's Word. We teach that the Bible is sufficient for life and godliness, that it's still relevant today, that it applies to our lives. Just like we teach you, we teach the kids that, and we teach from the Bible. We encourage children to read the Bible. We encourage them to memorize Scripture. We teach them how they ought to live as children of God, not just to be moralistic. We don't just teach them morals. This is good behavior, this is bad behavior, you're a Christian, therefore you should live this way. No, we teach them that you can't live this way, but if you have a relationship with your Savior, the Spirit causes in you the desire to live in a way that pleases Him, and that'll show fruit in your life. This is how we teach the kids. We also teach them God's sovereignty. It's one of the major themes, the three overarching principles, the gospel, the Word of God, and the sovereignty of God, that God is in control of everything. You know, in the first service when I was teaching this, my little 9-year-old was sitting in the front row. And so I just started rattling off some questions about that, you know. And he knew the answer about things that there are adults who don't know the answer to. You know, who's in control of all things? God. He looks at me like, duh. I'm like, well, who's in control of bad things that happen? God. Who chooses who's saved? God. I'm like, this isn't rocket science, people. He's known this since he was 4, you know. This is what we teach our kids. Now, you meet adults who've been going to church their whole life, and they're like, I don't know why bad things happen. Who's in control of that? A lot of children, you ask, when good things happen, who does it? God. When bad things happen, who does it? Satan. They don't understand the sovereignty of God and how that works. Our children do. So that's the material. What is the means? Well, how do we do this? How do we impart this truth to our children? Well, there's the teacher's role and the parent's role. Verse 28, where it says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ." This is a team effort. But the team captain is not Sunday school, it's the parents. The Sunday school is the supporting cast, as it were. Our methodology is this. We have a, to make it easier for the parents, to support the parents, we have a common curriculum, I don't know if you knew this or not, that's taught through all the age groups. So, you know, we've got 3 kids in Sunday school at the moment and one on the way into the system, and they all hear the same message at different levels, age appropriate. So they'll all hear the same story. At the moment, we're going through the sovereignty of God in the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. So all my kids hear that story at their level, and on the car ride home every single week, we talk about what happened in Sunday school, and they're all on the same page because that's how it's been structured in the common curriculum. The curriculum is on a 4-year cycle that goes through the whole Bible. I think it takes just longer than that, well, 8 years to get through the Old Testament part, but the whole Bible is covered. So if your kid plugs in at any point there and stays in through the cycle, they'll get the whole Bible. The gospel is taught every first term. The Old Testament is taught through systematically every second term. The New Testament is taught every third term, and then a topic such as prayer or forgiveness or some theological superlapsarianism and some topic that's age appropriate is taught to them during the fourth term. So every term that they're in, wherever they plug in, if you're new to the church and you just came, slot them in, keep them in for 4 years, and they'll get the whole dose. Then there's a common memory portion as well. All the kids are learning the same Bible verses, and we don't give them like a, you know, chunk of 12 verses every Sunday, different verses. It's the same passage that's taught incrementally over time. So all the kids are learning the same verse, and we teach in the ESV version, because I told you about my friend last week who was, he learned huge swaths of scripture in one version when he was a kid, and then when he went to seminary, you know, he learned the NIV, then he went to seminary and it was the NASB. So he changed his version and he memorized it in NASB. Then he took a church and they preached from the ESV. So then he tried to do it with the ESV. Now you ask him to quote a verse and he's like, "For God so something the somewhere, you know, that he something," you know, he's like all jumbled because of that. So, you know, we teach the same Bible that your kids are going to hear when they come to big church. They hear in when they're little, and they're memorizing those exact verses already. I told you last week as well, like, you know, my 4-year-old knows the word propitiation because it's in the verse that he memorized, and he just needs to. Then what happens is we have a take-home sheet. The take-home sheet is for the parents. This is produced each week, and the child gives it to you. Maybe you've noticed that, you know, after church, all my kids run to me with all these papers and hand it to me so they can go play. And I gotta get these papers and file them, and we use them at home because the papers are there so that the parent knows what the child's learning. So the parent can review it. Perhaps even use it as, your, family devotions the next night or that week. So that sheet, by the way, shouldn't be thrown away. Okay, you don't throw that away until you've gone through it with your kid and reinforced it. So that's part of the means is the teacher. Your job as the teacher is to be faithful in your diligence to prepare, to pray for your children, to take this seriously, and there's also a parental responsibility. Now, just on the teachers, at the workshop, I reminded them of some biblical truths that made them, you know, want me to present this to you, so they're taking this more seriously, but we all need to be. This is the truth. James 3, verse 1. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness." That's the verse we use to recruit Sunday school teachers. "Not many of you should be Sunday school teachers, because on judgment day, you'll get a stricter judgment." Those of you who are Sunday school teachers, please don't quit. we actually said at the workshop, I wouldn't be surprised or disappointed if somebody quit after realizing what's expected of them. If you can't do this, you do need to quit, or you need to step up and do this. Thankfully, they all said after mumbling about whether they should resign or not, that they're willing to step up and do this, but they need our help. So I said, well, I'll tell the church to help as well. But this is what's happening. They take it seriously because they will, on judgment day, give an account for what they taught your child. Mark 9:41. For truly I say to you, Jesus speaking, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Do you believe that? That's what Jesus said. He said having a millstone tied around your neck and dying a traumatic death is preferable to teaching one of our little ones sin. Parents, you need to think through that when you decide what television you let your kids watch. You think that the TV producers are going to be there on Judgment Day? You're going to be there for letting them watch that. They're being taught how to, what? Worship God or to sin? These are serious things. The parents need to know, according to Deuteronomy 6:5, this is the command that God gave Moses to tell Israel on how they were to raise their children. Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. You need to have a relationship with God. And these words that I command you today will be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Every aspect of your life needs to be permeated with the truths of God's word. Love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and this is how you obey him. And this principle still applies in the New Testament. We still need to love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength, and we still need to obey him, and we need to teach our children these things. So in Sunday school, we assume the parents are doing their job. We assume that. Our job as the church is not to evangelize your children. It's not to teach your children the gospel. It's not to teach your children that the Bible is true. It's not to teach them the sovereignty of God. And you're saying, but hold on, I thought you just said in point one, I'm pretty sure I was awake for that part, that is what you teach them. That's not our job. That's your job as the parent. Our job is to help you. That's why we teach that stuff. That's not our job. Our job as the Sunday school is to support what the parents are doing at home. Now, we understand that some of the children who come to our Sunday school are sent here by unbelieving parents who don't teach them that at home. Those parents think of Sunday school as a babysitting service, or maybe that they're going to learn some morals. Or I don't know why an unbeliever would send a kid to Sunday school. Sometimes kids come in like that, and that's fine. They will hear the gospel from us because they're not hearing it at home. But you know what? Their parents will be judged for that. Their blood's not on our hands. We're teaching them the gospel. But you know what? You as a parent don't have the luxury of saying, well, I'm so glad that the Sunday school's doing it. I don't have to do it at home. You do. The Sunday school is there to help you, not to replace you. Our job is to fan the flame. Your job is to light the spark and fuel that fire. I'm reminded of in 2 Timothy where Paul's telling Timothy, you have been acquainted with the scriptures from a young age because you learnt them from your grandmother and your mother, Lois and Eunice, right? And you learnt it from them. And then he says, I want you to fan the flame of the gift that God's given you, that this calling to the ministry. Well, that's what we're doing. We're assuming that the children are learning and being acquainted with the scriptures from a young age from their parents and their grandparents. And the grandparents are like, wait, what? I thought this was for the parents. I did my duty. No, you didn't. You did part one. Part two is grandkids. For all of you elderly folk who have kids who aren't having grandkids yet, you know how impatient you get? Well, honey, when are you going to have grandkids? Mom, we just got married last week. Come on, when's the grandkids coming, you know? You need to think twice. When that grandkid comes, your responsibility kicks back in that you got to teach that kid the gospel with the parents. With the Sunday school. This is a team project. It takes a village, right? So, our job's not to evangelize your kids. That's your job. Our job's to help you. And we do. And you need to praise God every Sunday that you don't have to undo what your kids are taught in Sunday school. Because I know parents who had to do that. You can even talk to Henny and Alta about when they were raising their boys and going to different churches, and how the boys would hear stuff in the pulpit and they'd talk in the car about, okay, so that part's not true. Now imagine your kids came out of Sunday school and you didn't even know what they're being taught because there's no take-home sheet, and we could be telling them anything. But we don't. We tell them the gospel. We tell them the truth, and we tell you what we're telling them for your sakes. So, your application, parent, loves the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Teach these things diligently to your children. But also, ensure regular attendance at Sunday school. If it's at all possible, your kids should be at Sunday school so they're not missing out on what's being taught. Take the memory verse and the sheets that come home and go through that with your children. So children learn through repetition. And it's very humbling to see how quickly they pick up memory verses too. You can always try to learn with them, but that'll just make you look silly because they just pick it up, you know. But you should. You should also be memorizing the same verses. My kids always pick it up way quicker than I do. But that's something you can do. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to have the teachers come up. So if you're a Sunday school teacher, please come up. I'm just going to introduce you to the congregation so you know. If you don't see the teachers in church, you come up now, come up. If you don't see them in church, it's not because they're skipping church, it's because they're looking after your kids or someone's kids. And also to mention that we've recently just translated the whole curriculum into Afrikaans. So the Afrikaans service who hasn't had Sunday school teaching, you can come on both sides here, up until now, we'll start you. We're just looking for teachers who have the gift of tongues. Or can speak the heavenly language, as Henny would say, and can teach the material in Afrikaans, because it doesn't help to have the kids know the language and the material and no teachers, right? Good, so I'm going to just introduce who's doing what here. So Evan Lewis and Grant Gillespie, Grant and Evan, they teach the grade 4 to grade 7 classes. And then Jessica Slater, who's not here because her family's away on vacation, and Llewellyn Carson, they teach grade 2 and 3, and then 0 to 1, grade 0 to grade 1 is Sharon Coleman and Sam Watt, Sam and Sharon, and then the 3 years will kind of grade to grade double naught, so 3 years old and just before they go to grade 1 is Bruce and Judy Parker. Bruce, Judy. So if I can just ask the elders to come up as well, and maybe if you guys can gather on the side here. We're just going to lay hands on them. We're going to pray for them because they really are, in a sense, local missionaries that we're sending out. And you can thank the Lord for them in your prayers during the week. Pray for them because they are going to have a stricter judgment, and they have hours of preparation that they put into all of this. And you feel free to thank them for what they do for your children and how they do it. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace in our church, that you've called us together, assembled us as this family, that you've given us these little children. And Lord, we thank you especially at this time for the teachers that you've raised up among us. These teachers here before us today, they understand their responsibility. They understand the gravity of the calling. I pray, Lord, that you would grant them fruit for their labor as they see the children mature in Christ and come to know you as the Savior, that you would grant them fulfillment in the work that they put in, knowing that it is your smile that they are after. Sometimes the children don't even appreciate it or don't even listen to the lesson the way they should, but we know that you, Lord, are pleased by their service. I pray, Lord, for their reward and that they would sense your smile. We pray, Lord, that you would protect them from the temptation of the evil one and for discrediting them in the eyes of the little ones that they teach. We pray, Lord, for the parents of this church, that we would be able to come around this group and hold them up in prayer and encourage them. And, Lord, we're just so grateful to you that you would even bring them into our lives. So we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Okay, well, the men are going to come up, and as the band comes up, we're going to serve communion now. We're going to take communion together, and then the parents need to go and get their kids from the childminders out there. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for everything that we've covered today in your word. It can be very challenging. For those of us who don't have children or grandchildren, I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to hold the rest of the congregation accountable and to come alongside those parents and encourage them to offer our services where we can, to consider prayerfully joining the group of people that teach Sunday school. We pray, Lord, that you raise up an Afrikaans Sunday school teacher And we commit our entire service in our church to you in Jesus' name. Amen.